Well, I want to welcome y'all to another Daily Decan, your rosary on the road. I'm experimenting now with some things that I'm hoping to bypass the problems that we've been having with people not having access to the show. So the recording might sound a little bit different. I'm using something different to record it. I'm not actually in the Anchor app itself, which might complicate things, but we'll see how it works. I'm thinking about uploading the raw file to Telegram and seeing how things go. Anyway, that's what we're trying right now. Anyway, for today, I've got an intention. I've got a close friend of mine, who is coming into the Holy Catholic Church, and he began his RCIA classes. I would have preferred him to do something a little bit more traditional in his catechesis, but I'm glad that he's coming into communion with the church nevertheless. And I'd like to pray for him on his journey. So far, it seems like it's been a very positive one, but I want to make sure it stays that way. And especially now, because we've got so much turmoil going on in the church and with everything that's going on in the world. And so I want to pray for him. He's L. We're going to call him L. And if you have a special intention of any kind, if you've got something coming up that you need preparation for, if you're having a hard time making a decision, you want a saint to come to your aid, and you need some extra prayers, we can go to the saint, and we can give you some extra prayers. So go ahead and write your intentions in to Daily Decad Requests at protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, requests in the plural, at protonmail.com. And I know it sounds a little bit like a sales pitch when I do that, and I don't mean it to, but it does. And what I really mean to say is that I'm here to help, and so is my audience, and I want to bring your intentions to them. So please do write in if you have anything that you need. Now, for right now, I want to go ahead and I made that silly mistake putting my rosary in my pants pocket above my wallet again. I don't know why I did that. I did it yesterday and it was pain in the neck. Here we go, I got it. So let's go ahead and get our rosaries out. I've got mine. And turn our hearts and our minds to God on behalf of our brother in Christ and servant of God, L. And for his successful journey into the church. What is today? Today's Thursday. So we're going to go ahead and pray in English. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us, and after this our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. O clement, O loving, O sweet Virgin Mary, pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O St. Paul, zealous defender of the faith, apostle called by Christ after the resurrection, as you upheld the ancient faith with zeal and with devotion and with love of God and his holy law, until it was revealed to you by Christ himself the true nature of that law, and therefore you took up the same with zeal and devotion and piety, sparing not to suffer in the name of Jesus Christ, we humbly ask thy intercession on behalf of the servant of God, L, who, a Christian man, a pious man, now seeks the true faith, as was revealed to you on that road to Damascus. We ask thy aid and thy help as he is on this road, that he may reach his destination with Christ. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, of the same Christ, who livest and reignest with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our travels along the roads of life, we may be spared the attacks of bandits. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, hopefully that recording came through all right. It looks like I'm still recording. Good. It's going to be a little bit harder for me to measure. Usually I can take a quick glance down at the phone and see, oh, I've got that many minutes left. So I don't really have an excuse to run too long. But this time I'm not going to be able to do that as easily, so I'm just going to have to do my best to keep it short. And actually, the reflection that I have today isn't one that should take too much time. I've encountered a lot of things recently, so I have some things coming up in my own life, and I think all of us have things going on with what's coming out of Rome, and especially those of us who are involved in any kind of Orthodox Christianity, little o Orthodox Christianity, there's a great sense of doubt and unease about everything. Recently, I was on the comments section over at Anthony Stein's Return to Tradition. I follow him. He's my morning podcast. I listen to him every morning as I do chores around the house. And I dropped in and saw somebody on one of his comments suggesting sedevacantism, saying it's the only way to go. And while I do enjoy listening to Bishop Sanborn and Bishop Dolan quite a bit, and I recommend them to anybody because they have just a Bishop Sanborn series on mental prayer is one of the best I've heard. It's fantastic. But he is a sedevacant. He's a sedeprivationist. We won't get into all the differences there. And I had made an effort to refute this claim that sedevacantism is the only way, because I don't believe that it is, and I think there's some dangers inherent there. But the shot back that came, and it came from two separate people, so what are we supposed to do as the church becomes more Lutheran? They both said that, more Lutheran. And I still haven't responded yet. I'm going to. Maybe they listened to my show. I don't know. But I had seen that, and I thought to myself, Lutheran, wow, that's, as the church becomes more Lutheran, if only the church were becoming more Lutheran. I know a Lutheran. If anybody follows the Godcast, you've probably heard, listened to Super Lutheran on the Godcast. And confessional Lutheranism is actually nothing to sneeze at. They hold some things to be sacred that even a lot of Novus Ordo Catholics don't. If only the church were becoming more Lutheran, more like the Missouri Synod or something like that. No, unfortunately, it seems to be going in a different direction, and that is cause for a lot of doubt and a lot of fear. And it's easy for us to feel that. Now, there's going to be these synods coming up where you can go and talk to your bishop and tell him what a jerk he is and all of that sort of thing. No doubt there will be people that will want to do that. Anthony, to his credit, discouraged people from doing that, to approach charity and speak in charity to express the concerns that we all have, and we do have a lot of them. But I thought a better way to think about all of this, and in the midst of all of this doubt and fear, is to remember, and this has been kind of taken away from us now, we talk about ourselves as the people of God instead of the church militant. And there's a reason why we talk about ourselves as the church militant. And the reason why is because it reminds us constantly that we are in a battle for our lives. There is never a time as Christians that we are not in a battle that will determine the fate of our eternal soul and whether we are bound for eternal happiness or eternal suffering and pain. And this battle is hard. All fighting is hard. There's no such thing as an easy fight, because there's always a risk. You know, you get into a knife fight, you'll win that. You can win that knife fight, but there's no such thing as a knife fight where you don't get cut. I remember reading that. I was a young man. I used to read a lot of Dick Marcinko, the Rogue Warrior, that stuff, and he has a bit on that. You know, you watch these knife fights in the movies, and the one guy always walks away without getting cut at all. He wins the fight. Well, that's not how knife fights actually go. If you win a knife fight, you will get cut. The trick is to cut the other guy worse. And that's the situation that we're in. We are in a knife fight with the devil. And we are going to take some damage in that. But as the Latin proverb says, and I forget whether it was Cato the Elder, it wasn't Seneca. My mind is failing. My memory is failing me on whether it was Cato or Pliny. I think it was Pliny the Elder, when he was rescuing people from Herculaneum, when it was being destroyed by the eruption of Vesuvius that buried Pompeii. He was asked by his nephew not to go, that it was too dangerous and that he wouldn't come out of it. And he responded with the famous Latin proverb, Fortuna audaces juvat. Fortune favors the bold, and went anyway, and he died. But it was the confidence with which he went into battle that made that story memorable. The Romans did not repeat that story as a sort of snarky irony of, say, ha ha, fortune favors the bold, look what happened to him. There may have been some that repeated it later on as you get into the late empire, but when it was repeated early on and when it was taught as an example of this Latin proverb, which did not go away, it was because, yes, he died, but he died doing something great, doing something daring, doing something brave. He died a man. And the Romans valued that greatly. Valor was tremendously valued by the Romans, and it's something that the early church looked at Rome and looked at Roman society, and this was one of the things that we said in our early days, this is something that is worthy of a Christian, to hold on to this valor and to understand it afresh in the sense of what we do with our lives as Christians, to bear up manfully. And that's something that you see in the scriptures quite a bit, you know, to bear up manfully, to gird thy loins. The ancient Hebrews would do that whenever they went into battle. Well, you cannot gird up to gird one's loins is actually to establish the, first of all, it allows you freedom of movement, but also offers some protection to, it's something that really only a man can do. And that's something that our faith has held on to. We are to bear up manfully. And this is true of women too. In your daily fight with the devil, in your daily fight in your Christian life, you are to bear up bravely. And with virtue, that's another word, that Latin word, virtu. And well, the reason why it's virtus is a direct derivative of the Latin vira, meaning man. To be virtuous is to be manly. All sorts of cultures have this, actually. The Norse have it, too. Someone who acts well is said to be acting manly. Well, the reason for that is because our word for man is what we use to refer to the entire human species. And we are most human. We are what we were created to be. When we act virtuously and bear up manfully in the face of obstacles and opposition, it is natural to doubt and to fear. In the face of battle, there is no soldier that goes into battle there's no sane man who goes into battle without some doubt and some fear. It is a matter of the degree to which his confidence and his faith, either in God or himself or his unit or what have you, outweighs and overcomes that doubt and fear. And we of the church militant, it is natural that we should have doubt and fear, especially as you have, you know, this call of all these synods. There's going to be a synod on synods now, and synods on synodality, and those synods are going to cover synodality. And there's all this talk of all of this nonsense that's going to allow all of these silly ideas to start percolating as though they're church teaching. That causes a lot of people, traditional people, a lot of worry. And that's not even to mention all the poor people in the Anglican Communion worldwide who want to try to hold on to something resembling tradition of the faith, or the Lutherans, or the Methodists, which have split in half. You think it's bad as a Catholic, imagine being in one of those groups. I feel very deeply for our for the Protestants out there who are trying to hold on to the ancient faith, because a lot of those Protestant communions have gone off the rails far, far worse than the Catholic Church has. not the Catholic Church, but the institutional body that governs the church has not gone off the rails nearly as badly as, say, the Southern Baptist Convention. I feel very deeply for those people that are trying to be good Christians and are stuck in those places. Grass is brown all around, and what we need is some refreshing rain. We're not going to get that unless we behave in a manner that merits it. And that means bearing up manfully. That means doing what God told us to do, which is to become soldiers of the faith in the church militant. to act militantly. And that doesn't mean acting aggressively. It doesn't mean berserking. It means bearing up manfully, taking your doubts and your fears, recognizing what they are, recognizing where they come from, and putting on the whole armor of God and going into battle anyway, no matter what happens. I hate to go back to Tolkien because it's so cliche to do when you're a Catholic, but he does have this. Maybe I won't have to go back to Tolkien. I can go back to, that's what I'll do. Instead of going to Tolkien, I'll go to The Dream of the Rood. Now, The Dream of the Rood is an Anglo-Saxon poem that was written shortly after the Christianization of the English people. It was written about the same time as another very famous hymn called Kedmon's Hymn. And in Kedmon's Hymn and in The Dream of the Rood, these talk about our Lord and his crucifixion and his death as they were imagined by these warriors, by this warrior society. The Anglo-Saxons were incredibly brave warriors. They were great, great, manful men. And in The Dream of the Rood and in Kedmon's Hymn, Christ crucified is not a weak and bleating victim, as we imagine when we talk about the Lamb of God. Now, the Agnus Dei is obviously a very deep and important part of the faith, and Christ is the victim sacrificed for us all. That's not to downplay that or draw away from it. But when the Anglo-Saxons imagined Christ, when this warrior society imagined Christ, they spoke of him stripping himself as an athlete does and mounting the cross manfully. It was not a matter of him allowing himself to be mistreated, but rather he walked into it. He was not thrown on the cross, he mounted the cross. Christ embraced the suffering wholeheartedly. This is how the Anglo-Saxons saw our Lord. And they're not wrong. Christ is God, which means that in order for him to have undergone what he underwent, he had to have willed it. And it's one thing to merely acquiesce. It's another thing to actively will. And our Lord actively willed to die on the cross for us. That appears in a lot of Eastern hymns as well. You have that in a couple of different places. You have an Eastern hymn that talks about he who willed to be crucified. We must will to be good Christians, to be Christian soldiers in this battle with evil, in our daily lives, and in society as a whole, broadly speaking. We must actively will to fight for Christ, and that means to embrace the suffering that the cross is to us. All of those doubts, all of those fears, all of that uncertainty, it's not a matter of resolving them. It's a matter of bearing them up and moving forward, knowing that Christ will never abandon us. All that sounds a little bit platitudinous, I suppose. I haven't given any advice of concrete action. I don't know that I can, really. It depends on exactly what your doubts and fears are. My concern is that the Catholic Church may not be the true church. That's a doubt that nags at me, gnaws at me, as I think it gnaws at anyone who is concerned with what they're seeing in the church. You ask that question, you know, is this really what Christ intended? You have that gnawing at the back of you. It's the devil. And recognizing that it's the devil who wants you to doubt, who wants you to fear, who doesn't want you to enter battle, makes it all the more easy to bear that up and to push it aside. We know in our heart of hearts what the truth is. And regardless of how it institutionally manifests itself, that truth doesn't change. Our loyalty to the faith and to the Church of Christ as he established it here on earth, must endure all of the doubts and fears and suffering that God sends us. Because what that means is bearing the entirety of the cross that God has assembled for us, stripping ourselves of our doubts and our fears, and mounting the cross like warriors. And so my prayer is exactly that, that we will be able to have the courage and the fortitude and the audacity to put aside that within us which is fallen and human, and embrace rather the warrior spirit of the God-man, Christ, to mount our cross, to bear it and to mount it willingly, and therefore be lifted up by it, nearer our God to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.